It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they have never seen before. Today in studio, we are joined by Kurt Bronneler. Kurt, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Kurt, you have never seen Braveheart.
I have not.
It was it's a huge one, right? This is like a huge... Sometimes people are like, I've never seen, and you're like, well, I've never heard of that one.
Well, I mean, you've seen a lot of a big list of the movies I've never seen. There's a lot of big movies.
Yeah.
I think I missed most of like the 2000s. I just checked out of movies.
It does seem like you kind of just skipped what a movie visually would look like, and you're like, I don't care for a man with a sword in a trailer.
I mean, Gladiator won... the Oscar.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about like Gladiator 1 I've seen. Gladiator 2 I couldn't follow the story. Here's some ones that we didn't do. Oh, before we get into this, we're going to tease a little round of guess what movie Kyle's dad is describing having had never heard of the movie but having had watched the movie trailer title in beta, but game is very much not in beta. So here is a few moments of yours and we'll guess it here at the end.
Okay, this looks like I'm watching the movie through a weird piece of glass.
All right. Big shout out to my parents who didn't even turn the TV down when they did the recording. We're also joined once again by Ryan Singer.
Hey, it's Ryan. A pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming
back. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, great.
Is what we're doing.
Yeah, he was excited when I told him.
I hope this matches right up.
So before we do your script here, and we're going to get in and let everyone know who we're playing and what's
okay.
I do want to go through your other list of movies you had never seen. There Will Be Blood, Gladiator, Mystic River, Goodfellas, Schindler's List, Seven, Shawshank Redemption, Sixth Sense. It's like, what
oh my God,
have you,
this is
what
like,
dorm posters did you have?
You just described, like, he hasn't seen my personality. Like, everything that formed me.
I know. My wife describes it like for about 15 years, I did not see any popular culture.
Right.
Like, I just stopped.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much true.
Was there a particular reason, or were you just busy for 15 years?
I don't know what it really was. And like, I don't have, like, I sit down to watch, I watch movies all the time. I love movies. But I don't have any burning desire to like sit down and watch Shawshank Redemption. I should. I probably will really like it.
Yeah.
But it's just never been, I feel like I've gone this long without it.
Sure. Oh, we have a board outside.
I might not need that enjoyable narrative. It's probably great.
We have a board outside of who hasn't seen The Godfather because it kept coming up.
I've seen The Godfather.
And we'll make a new board so Kurt can be the only Shawshank person. It'll be the Shawshame Redemption board.
Well, The Godfather, I understand because it's like a classic and it's like you got to kind of make an effort to see it.
Yeah.
But I feel like people see the Shawshank Redemption by accident a lot.
It's the example of like, oh, this is on.
Yeah.
It seems like it's always on TBS or TNT.
Is The Green Mile just something they say in Shawshank Redemption, or is that a different movie?
Yeah, there's a part in Shawshank where Morgan Freeman's like, you know what movie I love? The Green Mile.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Okay.
Or Michael Clark Duncan.
Is The Green Mile about prison, though?
The Green Mile is also about prison.
Okay, great. That's why I thought.
And it's a Stephen King.
They're both Stephen King.
It is also Stephen King. So, wow. Wish the guy could have a little range, you know? All this stuff seems scary. So we're going to do your scene. Before we do it, we score your scene. So if you want to grab any instruments from our instrument table, we'll take a second and grab whatever you want to use to score your scene here.
I don't know what this is. This is just like a...
You clap it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We got the instrument kit entitled Background of Despacito. And that one's a xylophone.
I did the same thing.
Everyone, the thing about the triangle is the string broke off, and you need that so it can vibrate.
It's impossible.
And so now it's just like hitting two metal sticks together. You're going to be holding them. And I'm going to...
Oh. Oh, wow.
Do you want this?
No, you can have it.
Okay. Ryan, you got the clapper and the shaker? You
got the clapper and the shaker.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's not much music in this because you know, it's prehistoric.
It can be environment.
Yeah. All right, are we ready?
So let's let everyone know who we're going to be playing. Just so they can
follow I'll be playing Braveheart.
All right.
And then
we got to divide.
One of you is Tim and one of you is Brian.
Ryan, it's up to you.
I'll be Tim.
All right, Tim.
I'll be Brian.
You'll be Brian. And I think the only notes I think are Tim and Brian are very, they're just super positive and maybe they have British accents. I'm going to have I'll have a Scottish accent that comes in and out. But I am terrible with accents, so I'm not committing to doing it the entire time.
That's more than
I'll try my best to go British.
Okay, great. Because that's, And I do realize British and Scottish are different, but I think it's nice if it's British.
But for our purposes here today, we're going to try to get as close as we can.
And are they really different?
Well, we're going to find out. I think we have parts of it. All right, ready?
Ready.
Braveheart. Exterior field dawn. Fog drifts slowly over clumps of tall grass pregnant with morning dew. Birds chirrup. That's British chirping. Morning crickets hee-haw and grumph. It's beautiful and serene. Chiron, Scoochland, 3000 BC. Near present-day Farthington. Suddenly, a huge cow foot pounds down on the glass clump. Sproink, then another. Clurmph, and another, and another. Four cow feet stand toe deep in wet grass. Then behind them we see hundreds of sheet feet syrupping through the grass. Splat, skrillink, skrill. It's an army. We pan up to reveal Braveheart Mel Gibson atop the bull cow. He's holding onto its horns like a steering wheel. A real scoochish cowboy. Behind him, hundreds, no, thousands of scoots sit atop their prehistorically large sheep. Halt, mateys! The entire army comes to a stop. There's great snuffling and snuffling from the beasts. They are ready for war. Braveheart rides his man-cow up and down the line of warriors. They are all wearing blue strings in their hair, and they have on skirts. Are ye skirts pressed, mateys?
Aye!
Are your hairs blue?
Aye!
Is no one wearing underwear?
It is not yet a thing!
Are you scoochish?
We are scoochish!
And what do scoochish do?
Fuck and fight! And there's nothing left to fuck!
Are you sure?
Aye!
Have you fucked your sheep?
Aye!
Have you fucked each other?
We loved it!
Aye, you did, mateys. Aye, you did. I have something I need everyone to hear. Can everyone see me all right? Those in the back?
Not really.
Okay, let's just, let's reorganize a bit. Let's make way for the guys in the back to come up front. And, you know, we can kind of do this like if you guys, you all stay on your sheep. And then, yeah, you guys come and stand in front. There we go. And then the way back, guys, you guys can just kneel in front of them. I know it's wet. I'm sorry. And then Tim and Brian, if you want to just come and sit cross-legged in front of those guys. Okay, I think we've got everybody, yeah? Anybody back there? No response. A few guys sitting down make some ow and cold as their bare balls hit the cold grass. Okay, good. It's only for a second, guys. Thank you. Now, what I am about to ask of you, no man has ever asked of you.
Has an animal asked of us?
I don't think so. What were you thinking of?
Oh, I don't know any animals.
Well, then it's not an issue. What I need to ask of you is difficult.
A cat?
Excuse me?
I know an animal. A cat. A cat is an animal.
Yes! Has a cat asked it of us?
Well, I don't think so.
An oar?
I don't think that's an animal. Are you thinking of an owl?
Yes.
There you go.
Has an owl asked us?
Look, you want to just hear the question, maybe, and then we'll all be able to rule out probably all the animals?
Well, you don't have to be rude about it.
Men, we are faced with an invasion from the Brit boys. Do we like the Brit boys?
No!
Is...
Is that a question? Is that the question?
No, no, no. I'm building up, Tim. Are you ready to fight for your land?
Aye!
Are you ready to give everything for Scoochland?
Aye!
Are you ready to die for your land?
Oh, I am not.
Tim leaves. Okay, Tim is out. Everybody else in?
Aye!
Then let's show these brick boys who are the real boys in town. The Scoochy Boys! Everyone goes fucking apeshit crazy. Braveheart switches over to a female cow and rides around, and everyone takes one swig of milk directly from the cow's teat. It's a ritual. After every solemn swig, the warriors say the traditional refrain,
"That's what I'm talking about!"
After everyone has a swig, which takes about 90 minutes, the Brit boys' army shows up across the field. Braveheart looks up. It is time. He looks at his men. They believe in him. He switches back to his man cow, who is horny to fight. Then silence as each army faces off. More snorfling and snuffling of animals ready for battle can be heard. Finally, Braveheart makes the call. He leaps into battle with his war cry, "Braveheart!" Smash to black. Cue title sequence. Braveheart, with 15 A's and 13 E's, screeches across the screen in stone lettering font and slam into a black background until all the A's and E's catch up with one another and slam together again. Braveheart, une película de Mel Gibson. Fade to black. Act one. And then it begins. That's just the cold open of the movie.
Ryan.
That was real close.
Here is my question, though. Are the basic facts right? Is it the British coming and the Scottish have to fight the British?
It is.
Or the Scottish are the British.
Yeah, maybe it's. That would make it an internal battle.
It's the Scottish wanting to break free from the rule of the Brits.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So that's correct.
So it's like an uprising.
Okay.
And
what year is it? Because originally I had it as 1492, and then I was like, maybe it's way earlier.
And also, I think I might be pulling 1492 from something else. Maybe this took place in 1776 or September 11th, 2001. I knew it was one of these dates from school.
One of them.
I don't know exactly I can't remember the exact year. I just remember it was King Longshanks was the king of...
Fuck you.
That's his real name?
Yeah.
That sounds like a princess bride or something, like someone's fake name.
Yeah, King Longshanks?
King Longshanks. The only reason I know this to be is because through my grandpa doing that Ancestry.com stuff over the years before he died, years ago, I am a distant relative of King Longshanks. And in the movie... Braveheart has sex with the princess who's going to be the queen, who becomes queen. So I have always told people, because I'm like Scottish, that I'm related to Braveheart.
But you're not.
Is his name
Braveheart? I might be.
So his name is Braveheart.
What was his name?
William Wallace.
William Wallace.
Ah, not even Braveheart. Does he say Braveheart at any point?
And also, how incredible is it if the person who ends up being the bravest is the one named Braveheart? Like he was born Eric Braveheart, and boy, did it work out.
Yeah, it would be a real shame if he was so cowardly.
Yeah. Maybe that's the name they gave his family when they came to Ellis Island. Like, has anyone in your family ever just been the bravest? And they're like, well, this is going to blow your mind, but yeah.
William has.
It's actually pronounced Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Does he say Braveheart anytime in the movie?
Yeah, why is it called? I also haven't seen it.
I don't think so. I mean, I think like what happened was William Wallace was a real guy who became a legend, and then that legend was, you know, built up and built up and built up to where it's like, he came like a ghost in
like
the
Joan
night.
Like Joan of Arc a little bit, where it's like rooted in reality.
Yeah, so now
he's
this like historical figure that like all this pride is derived from. Like,
okay.
He single-handedly united the Scots to fight for their freedom against those fucking English.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. He was our Braveheart, you know. So I don't know. That's my best guess.
The Scots love getting riled up.
Yeah.
If I can paint
with
the wide brush.
I almost said we do.
I'm
12% Scot. We do.
You gesture to the people that aren't even here with you. That's, you know, I haven't seen it either. It feels long.
Oh, yeah, I think
I have no idea how long it is. And that keeps me from ever seeking
it out. I love long movies.
Mm-hmm. You do?
Just because they remove me from reality for a longer period of time than shorter movies.
Oh, so it's like almost a medical thing.
But this one is the cinematography. It's like this movie's beautiful.
Okay.
The way it's shot and like the landscapes and the just visually, it's really.
Is the opening at least right? Where it's just like
you're still
fog.
Like worried about the details.
Fog, a lot of fog. And
there's
maybe
a lot of fog
dew.
And like green and
there's
dew.
Something where they're on a hill. Is that the beginning or the end?
I think that's I can't remember exactly. It's been a few years since I've seen it, but like the beginning is him as a boy. Like you learn about the legend how William Wallace came to be, and you know. But it's like very muddy, livestock, poor people, like sheep, like cows, kind of thing. Yeah.
Hmm? So it's post. Agriculture.
Or, yeah, agriculture.
It's the domestication of animals have happened.
Is that wool? It is 3 hours and 2 minutes long.
3 hours and 2 minutes.
That's about what I figured.
Long
That's so
movie.
Long. So we haven't had 3 hours or 2 minutes in 2 minutes in the past 15 years to check out. When did this movie even come out? It's like 1995.
Is it a 90s movie?
Yeah.
It's definitely a 90s movie.
So okay. We haven't had 3 hours and 2 minutes in the last 20 years.
And also,
years.
If I do, I feel like I got to see There Will Be Blood first.
Oh, my gosh. My girlfriend almost broke up with me because of that movie.
So let's do
really?
It.
Because I wouldn't stop watching and she wanted to go to bed. This was, we had
Wait,
problems in our
on.
Relationship.
Hold on.
There was problems hold in the relationship on. Before that. But
oh, really? There were problems in the relationship where you were addicted to watching a three-hour movie about a man who tries to become an oil tycoon?
Are you a fan of Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, of course. I think else? Who isn't, you know?
Right. That movie's pretty good. If I had to pick
it's
between...
pretty good. You're 40 hours good. Into having seen it.
I would say Braveheart over There Will Be Blood. And some people might get mad at that, but I would say...
All right. Okay.
Because
well,
There Will Be Blood is definitely a slower movie.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't know.
So let's do some quick math. There Will Be Blood, 3 hours. Gladiator, 2.5 hours. Mystic River, 2.5 hours. So now we're hovering. There's 8 hours.
Honestly, is Mystic River like a popular movie?
Oh, I've seen that. It's got Sean Penn in it, right?
The thing that Mystic River sits with me is it takes place in Missouri. Uh-huh. I'm from Missouri.
Okay.
And so I have this theory about things that are filmed that take place in Missouri where everyone thinks Missouri is blue. Have you seen Ozark?
Yeah.
That's the same color. Mystic River's the same blue hue.
Oh,
everyone, I don't know why Hollywood is painting a picture that all of Missouri is slightly blue. But
well,
everything
is
that weird. Maybe it's called desaturated or whatever. But everything, you know what I mean? Ozark looks blue.
Yeah, they take all like the reds out.
Right. And that's Mystic River's the same.
Interesting.
I don't know why everyone, you know, Roadhouse, not as much. I don't know how much color correction Roadhouse
got. Wait, is Roadhouse
got.
In Missouri?
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew?
I would say the best movie to take place in Missouri.
I would not argue that. I love that movie.
Yeah. Damn, man, the Scotch really get riled up. Do you notice this?
I'm like, dial it down. Take a suck off
between
the
that and
the
then Schindler's List, 7, Shawshank Redemption, Sixth Sense, 10 Things I Hate About You. Thank you for tagging that onto the end of the list of things you haven't seen.
I literally just... I Googled popular films, and then that was just at the end, and I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
I have not seen Schindler's List either.
I want to know, let's talk about the PR people for 10 Things I Hate About You getting you on the popular films Google, where they're like, they're getting on the front page of the popular films, because somewhere Forrest Gump is like, we really got to get the word out.
I bet you it's based on box office, right?
Yeah.
I think 10 Things I Hate About You did very well.
Yeah. Isn't that the movie that like made Heath Ledger?
Had no idea. I couldn't identify a person in it.
I would say, if I could look back, I would say The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about like why like every woman was like,
I don't know.
Not every woman alive, but many women, many younger like adult women were really upset when Heath Ledger died.
Oh, right.
And it's because I believe it's from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
I think he was like the teenage heartthrob in that movie.
I confuse all numbered romantic comedies. Like 50 First Dates and 10 Things I Hate About You and Forgetting Seven Marshall. And I ran out after 2 and I really had to go and try and come up with some other ones.
Forgetting Seven Marshall.
It's like you're doing your own game.
Yeah, I know. It's truly probably something wrong with my brain.
If I had seen 7, I could, you know, make a fun joke about that.
It'll come up. All those sort of romantic comedies that existed, I just kind of never saw any of them. The one where they hold up the signs... He holds up a bunch of signs, and he's like, I love you for this reason and things like that.
What?
It's that Christmas movie, right? It's got it's like a real big ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then
The sign.
He holds up signs. It's like, this is why I love you. And it's like,
Love Actually.
Love Actually. Oh. And like movies, I just kind of miss out on all these. Yeah. Like, what is the big popular genre defining romantic comedies I kind of miss out on?
What about the ones from the 80s, even?
Like John Hughes, I kind of
like
know.
Say
a little
Anything?
Bit. Say Anything, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Say Anything is like the definitive, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for people of a certain generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, the Scots really get riled up about Say Anything.
I'll tell you what, though. Out of all those movies that you haven't seen, I have to say Seven is probably the one you got to go with.
Oh, really?
I mean, talk about it. I mean, if you like psychological thrillers.
Sure. Who doesn't?
I mean, it's like that movie.
Okay.
Have you seen 12 Monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, one of the numbered Monkeys. Romantic comedies that's never made it into my zeitgeist.
Have you not seen 12 Monkeys?
I haven't seen it.
12 Monkeys is awesome.
Yeah, really awesome. Fifth Element? Have you seen Fifth Element?
Okay. All right.
2001. 7 plus 5 is 12. Do you see the connection
2001,
here?
The ultimate polyamorous film. 2001, where the 1,000 couples and one single person go on a space odyssey.
I guess I'll have sex with a robot.
I can't let you do that, Ryan. Okay. And then, let's just, I think I kind of agree with him. Seven, I think, is probably will hold up and see. Seven
okay.
could probably be watched today like it came out this week.
Yeah, I watched the first scene of Seven and remembered being like, oh, this is unlike, I'm not recognizing this.
Yeah.
Like this, I was like, it didn't feel like ass seeing this hacky. I was like, oh, this is unique.
It's sort of, yeah, it's one of, because sometimes when you see older movies that were great when they came out.
People have like taken the greatness out of them and done them again.
Right, exactly.
And so you're like boring.
Right, yeah. And so everything that they invented doesn't
feels
feel
trite.
Fresh.
Yeah.
We keep talking about, and I love David Fincher, and this is like early David Fincher, and it's got Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we're going to just get right into a game that we play because it's so Seven related. I don't want to dip out of Seven and come back in. And this is called Rapid Fire Trivia about a movie you've never seen. We're seeing the movie definitely would help you with the trivia.
All right.
So, Ryan, if you would leave.
Okay. Ryan, thank you so much.
What if we just do something else now? Ryan leaves. And Rebecca, if you would bring the ice cream in and the puppies.
Oh, wait, what?
That's the funnest thing I can think of is sneaky ice cream. So what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you 20 questions about Seven.
Okay.
Where seeing the movie would definitely help you.
Answer them.
Answer the questions. And
Great.
We're going to see what you can do. I think our record is 7 for someone who hasn't seen the movie.
Okay, great.
And I think it is, I don't remember, Megan Gailey, I think. So let me get this pulled up, get the IMDb pulled up. All right. This is, did Ryan leave? Cool. Is he in his car? Like, did he leave? Oh.
Come on, Ryan.
Rapid fire trivia about a movie you've never seen. We're seeing the movie definitely would help you with the trivia. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Question 1, who directed the movie?
David Fincher.
Yep. Question 2, what year did the movie come out?
1998.
1995. Question 3, name 3 actors or actresses who appear in the movie.
Kevin Spacey, the kid from The Sixth Sense, and Mary J. Blige.
Ah, you had it. But the kid from Mary J. is only in one scene, so I didn't put her on there. Question 4, name 1 character's name.
Brian.
No, would have accepted cop. Question 5. Within $4 million, what was the budget of the movie?
I'm going to say for a psychological thriller in 1995, $25
million. Oh, it was $33 million. Question 6.
Pretty close.
Within $20 million, how much did the film gross worldwide?
Oh, $125 million.
$327
million. Holy shit.
Question number 7. How long is the movie within 10 minutes?
I feel like it's 2 hours and 7 minutes.
It is exactly 2 hours and 7 minutes long.
No!
Yeah, it's 127 minutes.
Yes!
Question 8, it was nominated for 1 Oscar. What category?
Best Direction.
No.
Best Screenplay?
Best Film Editing. Question 9, within 2 years, how long has William Somerset been a police officer at the start of the film?
Wait, within 2 years. Oh, how long has he been a police officer? 40.
So close. 34. Oh. Question 10. Mill's wife, Tracy, was a teacher before they moved. What level were her students?
Oh, they were sophomores.
No, elementary school.
God damn.
Question 11. John Doe punishes those guilty of committing one of the 7 deadly sins. His first victim is guilty of which sin?
Lust?
No, it was sloth.
It was sloth. Yeah, I was about to say sloth. Did you hear that?
I felt you dipping into it.
Yeah.
Question 12. Mills references which Star Wars character in the film?
Boba Fett.
Nah, Yoda. Question 13. Name how many notebooks are found in John Doe's apartment? 2,700. He's very deep. He has one thick notebook for each sin. Question 14. What are John Doe's final words?
See ya.
It's not that, but I will take the photo of him for before his last words and put that over it, and it's going to look incredible. Question 15. What writer does Officer Somerset quote in the film's final moments?
What writer?
Writer.
Oh, what writer in the last moments? It's got to be a classic Mark Twain.
No, it's Hemingway. Imagine if he referenced a writer and he's like, do you guys see Jack White needs specific avocados when he performs? Question 16. Name two movies that the IMDb says more movies like this movie are.
Wait.
Name two movies that IMDb suggests as more like this movie.
More like this movie. Okay.
And you get two strikes.
Jesus Christ. It's not. I keep wanting to say The Sixth Sense, and I know that's not true. And the other one would be like a psychological thriller with a murder in it. Oh, Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs is one.
Yeah.
One more.
And another psychological film with a murder in it would be Gone Girl.
Not Gone Girl. We would have accepted Forrest Gump, Fight Club, The Matrix, Pulp Fiction, and
Time
Inception.
Out. Forrest Gump.
I don't know why it's on there.
All right.
They came out the same year, I think. Okay. Question 17. Finish this quote. Mills, John, calm down. I seem to remember us knocking on your door. John Doe. Oh, that's right. And I seem to remember...
me saying goodbye.
No, breaking your face. It's very weird. Within a range of five, how many times is the word fuck said during the film?
Oh, with a range of five. I'm going to say 52.
74. Fill in this quote. Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a blank, and then you'll notice you have their strict attention.
Gun.
Sledgehammer. Last question. What's in the box?
Oh, a finger?
No. Oh, all right. I think that's it for the 20.
What's in the box?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow's in it.
She's in it very briefly a few times. I think we got two.
Is that historically bad?
It was impressive to get the length of the movie exactly. So, unfortunately, not bonus points. All right, let's see if get Ryan back in here and see if he can beat two.
I'm going to bet he can.
Yeah,
Oh, you want to have a wager?
An over-under on what we think Ryan will get? Or just, oh, no, he's going to beat two. No, I'm not going to go, he gets less than you. All right, Ryan.
All right, well, then let's have money on it. Let's you and I have money.
Okay, on how many he's going to get?
Yeah.
I think Ryan.
Is it?
I think he's going to get, what's your over-under? 8.5.
8.5, you think?
Yeah.
Wait.
So, like, if you can, because he's not over under 8.5.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh.
I think he's going to get 8 or 9. So, if you can, I'll let you take the over under on 8.5.
Oh, 8.5. You think he's going to get 8?
Another romantic comedy numbered film I haven't seen.
9.5. I'm going to say, well, you know what? A lot of them are difficult.
I guess I bet I can't bet on this because then I could just miss a bunch of money. I could take the under and we could split.
I know, right?
Oh, God. Or you could just do it well and we could split.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna take 10.
You think he's gonna get 10? I think he's doing pretty good.
So you have 8.5, which is like illegal because you can't get a half right.
You could
get
a half right. We've given half credit sometimes.
Well, we'll see. So I'm taking 10. And
me, the person in charge of what counts as right or wrong, is taking 8.5.
So it's $5 on it? $5?
We'll do $5 on it. Well, I mean,
oh, this is a lot.
If you're taking 10,
$5.
I think he's going to get exactly 9.
All right.
And anything else?
Out of 20.
Out of 20. Oof. And if it's not 9 or 10, we'll both just steal a bunch of soda from the fridge.
Sounds good.
Ryan,
okay.
Are you ready?
Pressure's on now here.
But the number to beat to win today is 2. Oh.
I might have a shot.
However, I answered all of them very quickly, and I would like that.
Yeah.
That should really count as one point.
Except that one where you went, And then you just said your thought process for 45 seconds. Okay, Ryan, for Rapid Fire Trivia about a movie Kurt's never seen. We're seeing the movie will probably help you with the trivia. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, question one, who directed the movie?
David Fincher.
Yes. Question two, what year did the movie come out?
1999.
No. Question three, name three actors or actresses who appear in the movie.
Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey.
Yes. Question four, name one character's name.
Head in a box.
No, that would not how it's listed on IMDb. I'm sorry. She goes by Tracy. Question five, within $4 million, what was the budget of the movie?
$37
million. $33 million. You're within $4 million.
Nice.
Question six, within $20 million, how much did the film gross worldwide?
Worldwide. $206 million.
$327
million. Ooh, wow.
Question seven, a question Kurt got exactly right on the nose. How long is the movie within 10 minutes?
100 minutes.
It is 127 minutes.
Oh.
Question eight, it was nominated for one Oscar. What category?
Sound design.
Film editing. Question nine, within 2 years, how long has William Somerset been a police officer at the start of the film?
Three.
Years or like 34 years. I think you might be thinking Brad Pitt is the character, is William Somerset.
Oh,
you just also, you just the
shoot,
silence after
yeah.
you just said the number three.
3 years, he's been 3 years, 10 years.
He's been three cop.
Okay, so I got the wrong character.
Question 10. Mill's wife Tracy was a teacher before they moved. What level were her students?
High school.
No, elementary school. Question 11. John Doe punishes those guilty of committing one of the seven deadly sins. His first victim is guilty of which sin?
It's not gluttony. It's, it's vanity.
Sloth.
Damn!
Question 12. Mills references which Star Wars character in the film?
Jabba the Hutt, for sure.
Yoda, for sure. You said for sure while I was saying what it actually was. You couldn't hear what you got
so
wrong.
So far, you're at three. If you maintain three, then that's perfect. Because
yeah.
then it's just one better than me.
Yeah. And with his exact answer, we might have to bump him up a half, which rounds up to three. Question 13. How many notebooks are found in John Doe's apartment?
Oh, this is an interesting question.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
I'm going to say there were 200 notebooks.
2,000. Exactly 2,000. One for every year years of the millennium, he said. Question 14. What are John Doe's final words?
Wait. I know this because, I mean, it's, oh, yeah, it's right. He says something, it's something religious based. He says something like, amen.
Nope.
I'll tell you what it's not.
What?
See ya.
That's what he said it was. And if you picture how he didn't know.
Oh.
Question 15. What writer does Somerset quote in the film's final moments?
Oh, Cormac McCarthy.
Hemingway. What?
I was thinking dystopian.
Have you guys read No Country for Old Men? I hear the Coen brothers are actually working on it. Question 16. Name two movies that IMDb says are more movies like this.
Oh, I'm going to say 12 Monkeys is definitely one.
I love how you take a running start at every answer and then couldn't be further from a correct answer. Oh, yeah, for sure. This is a great question. I'm going to say Elon Musk. Oh, it's Brad Pitt. No, that's one strike.
Okay, so I get one more strike.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a psychological thriller. What's that one? Oh, Kiss the Girls. Morgan Freeman's
no,
in that.
No, why would Kiss the Girls?
Because
no.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
I know, it's Silence of the Lambs, Fight Club, The Matrix, Pulp Fiction, Inception, and Forrest Gump.
Man,
these Scots really get riled up
can
about
we
everything.
Time hop?
Can we get the little cartoon dinosaur in here to let us know how you were about to do. Question 17. I got to remove Rapid Fire from the name
Sorry.
Of this game.
Okay, we'll go.
No, it's on me. I can't not riff about every.
Yeah, okay.
Can we picture, you remember how John Doe dies?
Is this still
dies?
A riff or is this
no,
the
this
next
is
question?
A riff. You remember how John Doe, we'll get back to it. Question 17. Finish this quote. Mills, John, calm down. I seem to remember us knocking on your door. John Doe, oh, that's right. And I seem to remember blank.
Not giving a fuck.
No. Breaking your face.
Oh.
Still at three. Still at three.
Still
pretty good.
Well, neither of us are going to win $5, even if he runs the table here. Question 18. Within five, how many times is the word fuck said during the film?
107.
74. Oof. Question 19. Fill in this quote. Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a blank. And then you'll notice that you have their strict attention.
Hit them with a fist.
He'd probably just say punch them. instead of like inventing
he hit
the wrong.
Me with a fist.
Oh God, he hit me in the face with a fist. His fist.
What's the
I don't
real,
know.
What's the real word?
Sledgehammer.
Oh, hit them with a sledgehammer.
And question 20: what's in the box?
A head.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, you got four right at the end. Right at the end.
Wow. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean,
1, 2, 3, 4.
Those were difficult.
They were difficult.
Like, how many notebooks are in the thing?
Come I mean,
it's because he makes Nobody a big point that. Of saying there's exactly 2,000.
David Fincher doesn't even know that.
It was just a riff Morgan Freeman had. That's the thing. Seven is a lot like Superbad, where it's a loose script and they riff throughout it, and that's where you get a lot of these memorable lines. Morgan Freeman only got in the movie because his roommate knew David Fincher.
And he loves riffing.
So he loves riffing.
And the only reason, I'll be honest with you, the only reason I got David Fincher is because he said it earlier.
That's I know, what, me too. Me
okay,
too. So I would have had one and you would have had three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you have still got... So here's what I want to happen. And I talked about it in between the rounds. I need... The way that Kevin Spacey... I don't know how much you want... Are you... Is spoiling
what?
This movie going to do anything? Is that
no.
okay?
Yeah.
The way that John Doe, who's Kevin Spacey's character, is killed is like a very big part of the movie. And,
uh-huh.
it's like, and it's a big all-encompassing thing. And he says he didn't know is a huge thing. But, and it's a very beautiful, it's like picturesque sort of like thing, right? It's like a kind of one of these big movie moments. I want the image of him at the end, right before he's killed, a gif of him saying he didn't know, but the words, see ya, to come flying out of his mouth. So bad. If anyone who's listening is good at making that, I would really love that. Because
yeah.
it's just Kevin Spacey, this cold serial killer. See ya.
And what does he actually say? He didn't know?
He didn't know because Gwyneth Paltrow's character was pregnant.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And Brad Pitt finds that out after while he's finding out she's been killed.
Oh.
But Morgan Freeman did know that because they kind of connect.
So Kevin Spacey says he didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that like he takes pleasure in it. Like,
yeah.
He didn't know.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, because, I mean, you can probably put two and two together what the scene is at that point, but like with the box and everything, but...
Yeah, he...
Oh, he gives him a present.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And sort of like all part of like... He tries to make Brad Pitt become Wrath as one of the sins.
Oh.
He's the seventh... He will be the seventh right. sin that is committed.
Exactly. Anyways, there we go. But that's...
That was a fun game.
That was a fun game.
That was...
Two,
wow.
four, it's all good.
I've gotten more on a movie I haven't seen before. Than...
Yeah, you got more than four on... what was the movie?
It was, I can't remember, but it was.
I don't even remember.
The two I got were director and 207 minutes.
It wasn't even that. It was 127 minutes.
2 hours and 7 minutes.
I think Cloverfield was the one I just guessed.
Oh, that's right.
A bunch
you just
on.
We did Cloverfield, and Ryan guessed. I was like, what is stylistic about the way the movie is? And he's like, oh, how long is the movie? And he's like, oh, it's 88 minutes because that's the length of a DV tape and it's all shot on one handheld camera. I'm like, how do you... But he's never seen it, but he got that detail.
I channeled Source for a moment.
But here he's like, I don't remember any details from this movie. It was like the most detail-oriented movie about the most detail-oriented man. The movie could have been called Detail-Oriented.
It could have.
So we're doing this math a little bit ago. And before we get into these other games, I want to talk about... All these movies you haven't seen, you were 6, 8, 10, 12. You know, this is about a day or 2 days of watching movies, depending on how many times you watch 10 Things I Hate About You. What have you spent the most time watching?
The most time watching? I probably spent...
It could be TV or a movie you rewatch all the time. But like, maybe something
the
that's
The North
like,
Shore is probably the movie I've seen the most.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that before.
It's a surfing movie from the 80s.
Okay.
It's the best it's the best movie ever made.
You
I
could tell it's
movie.
A great movie because when I look up the North Shore, the word movie doesn't even come up. It just thinks I mean all lowercase versions of those three words. It's like, you're talking about Oahu? I don't know if I am.
Yeah, North Shore is great. I've seen that a lot, and maybe Schizopolis is the next one I've seen the most of. Soderbergh's movie.
Okay.
You ever seen Schizopolis?
I haven't, but I've at least heard of this. I haven't heard of anything
so
in the North Shore.
No, you wouldn't. Laird Hamilton, he plays the bad guy.
The movie poster looks like one of the Photoshop movie posters I make to promote this podcast.
Yeah.
It very much looks like this isn't actually how these are.
Wait,
that's the actual movie cover.
Right.
And I recently got to go to a live screening of it.
Was it on Laserdisc?
With Rick Kane, the guy who plays Rick Kane,
it
and
wasn't
the guy who
sold
plays
out.
Turtle. I honestly thought it would be.
Yeah.
And I got there and I was like, oh, it's not. No. I mean, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Would you classify it as a cult classic movie?
Cult classic.
For sure.
Okay.
Cult classic. If you grew up surfing, you know North Shore.
Are you from...
Did you grow up surfing?
You're from New Jersey?
Yeah.
So we would like go out surfing on like the beaches and stuff. What's the boardwalk and the Jersey Shore?
The Jersey Shore.
Is that what it's called? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the Jersey
okay,
Shore.
Okay, cool.
We just call it the Shore, I guess. Or people who are not from there call it the Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but not the North Shore.
No. And so I've seen the North Shore, Schizopolis, and then maybe the third one is The Abyss.
So what do you watch? Like, what do you spin?
I have specific
yeah,
taste.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's, yeah, you do.
That's...
You have taste that can only be described by, not even like the name of the movie doesn't even describe them enough. You have to delve into, I have to see the movie poster and then learn about you. It's not like, oh, Ryan's like, oh, you know, I like Seven. I'm like, okay, I can see where he's coming from. Yours is like, there's no way to describe the taste.
Yeah.
Is that what tapas is?
Yeah, no, there is. And I think it honestly is like a detriment to me being able to identify myself like as a comedian, I think. Do you know what I mean? I think as comedians, like you're like, I'm like this kind of person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, so I'm going to talk about these things. And then people who are like that will like my kind of comedy.
Has anyone
and
ever
I've
told you?
I don't have that.
Has anyone ever told you that there's something you would really like and then you didn't?
Oh, that's...
Like to where they just
sometimes we think about like people will sum
really
you
were.
Up in projecting taste. Do you know what I mean?
No, and, I don't think anything like that has happened. But Pete Holmes recently said to me, he was doing hot tub and he was backstage and we were talking about something. And out of the blue, he's just like, you're not really disciplined, right? You're not a disciplined person. And I was just like, actually, I am.
You're doing push-ups while he says that?
Yeah. I write multiple hours a day. I work out three times a week. Like, what? No. I keep
a human child alive.
Yeah.
That
barely even made the podium of your discipline.
And it was just like, what? So that's, I guess I come off as undisciplined.
Okay.
To Pete Holmes, at least.
That's interesting. I would have probably thought that you were a pretty focused, locked-in guy.
I don't know, like, maybe you'd really like a detail-oriented movie or something like that that you could relate to.
Yeah.
Something with, you know, 2,000 reasons to like the movie. Exactly 2,000, I'm not sure. Yeah, that's always so fun when it's just someone has quietly made this choice about you and then decides to let you know.
Yeah.
We get that. A lot of that comes up in, like, the... Oh, you would love... Well, the original example was Mike Lawrence. We all know Mike.
Yeah.
Would talk about how often people told him to see Fight Club, to where the point eventually he's like, I'm not going to see it because I can't know what all these people think about of me.
Oh, wow. I wonder what that – I guess I would recommend. I hated Fight Club.
It certainly doesn't hold up.
It doesn't,
I
saw it when it came out, and I was like, mm-mm.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good early train to be on.
Yeah.
I think that there's, you know, a lot of the way people behave on the internet is because everyone roots for the wrong people in Fight Club.
Yeah.
I think most Twitter replies and most people are, you know, what am I doing if not painting with a wide brush? But that's fine. I get the wall covered faster.
Most Twitter replies.
What am I here trying to do corners all day? Everyone who's ever existed who likes anything is terrible. No. And it's, but it is like, it's just a lot of these things happen where people root for the wrong people in these things. And you're like, well, you can't, you want to be like Heisenberg? He's the bad guy. We're not talking about
all those lines have been blurred. All those lines have been blurred so much with the anti-hero has it's not even an anti-hero anymore. It's just like now you're rooting for Game of Thrones is, I think, the best example where like you hate a character and then five episodes later, now you're rooting for that character and then you hate them again. And then it's like you can't. It's really tough. So I don't even think the hero really exists in that traditional form anymore for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, Fight Club like preceded that with like, well, I think you're just rooting for these people because it's from their perspective and they look cool.
Yeah.
Or they, you hate your job or like something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just, it ties you in this loose way that then it really, and it hits people. Lots of people, when they see it, it's at an age where you're very much like, you hate these things, but you don't understand.
Why?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, I don't want to.
I'm angry.
I don't want to work at a desk.
I'm just going to run up a bunch of credit card debt because somebody's going to blow up those buildings. Not me. Some hero out
like,
there.
I think with, and famously with Breaking Bad, which I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad.
I have. I enjoy Breaking Bad.
Anna Gunn, Skyler, would be constantly harassed. And she would talk about how she had to remove herself from the internet because she was harassed, because everyone would call her the bad guy of the show. And she's actually listed on Wikipedia as one of the villains of the show. How crazy
That's
is
so
that?
So crazy. He's the bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
He's making meth like and on, killing people.
Yeah.
10 minutes into one episode, he broke a teenager's leg with it, but because he made fun of his son at a thrift store.
There is like a interesting thing. If you watch like a lot of old movies, you'll find this popping up. Like even JFK, the cop.
He's the bad guy.
It's the wife. They make the wife the nag.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can like a guy who is being a deadbeat dad,
Carmela Soprano,
being an awful husband, is by making the wife annoying for requesting him to do the things
like a basic
thing. I really wish this. I wish this lady would stop asking him to quit making meth.
Yeah,
does she get it? He's doing it for her.
Oh. We like it when he makes meth.
I'm gonna eat blue candy, mom. it's she would say she was like she would get harassed. It's like that means a couple things. One, everyone's interpreting the show in such a bizarrely like a way that's loaded with all of history's interpretation of like a gender role.
Yep.
And another thing, she's really good at acting.
She's like, really good. She's like so great.
In a way that I'm sure the compliment maybe doesn't make her feel. You'd be like, but your performance is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. She's so good.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a tough thing. Compliment though. Like, you're so good at acting, it makes me believe you should be subjugated.
You should be in a traditional. And it's not. It's you. It's not like these people see Skyler. That's not a real. She's not. That's not a real person.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they used to talk about soap stars would experience that all the time. Like, they'd be walking down the street and people would be like, "I can't believe you left Danielle."
Well, I know, and especially because like Danielle had it coming. So we got three more games here.
Okay.
This game here is called Before and Afters. It's, I mash up two movie titles into one.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the plot to that new movie and you tell me the title.
Great.
And a lot of our titles that were submitted by listeners, which is super fun. So they come up, it's all pun based, right? So they come up with these. So I'll tell you the plot to the new movie. And you tell these ones are all so hard.
So there are two movies mixed together,
right?
Into
like
a
Wolf
pun.
Of Wall Street would be an example.
Great.
So here I'll read you. We're gonna start because this one I think is a little bit easier. These are tough ones. Plot one: as a result of a detention, high school students from different backgrounds move to New York, where they meet a young man who helps them move into their apartment.
Wait, that's the whole movie?
That's it.
Okay, so one more time.
As a result of a detention, high school students from different backgrounds move to New York, where they meet a young man who helps move them into their apartment.
Breakfast times at Ridgemont High Club.
No, but you're living in it. You're living in the
world. Breakfast and Furious Club? Moving into
Club at Tiffany's?
Breakfast Club at Tiffany's.
Oh, is that it?
Nice. I just saw Breakfast at Tiffany's recently. That's it. I think the only reason I got that.
Oh, she just moves into an apartment?
That's kind of, then she meets this guy and she's kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two. A tourist is suddenly bit by a mysterious beast while overseas in France, attempting to defraud wealthy investors out of millions and binging on drugs and sex and thrills.
A wealthy investor is bitten by a beast overseas while he's trying to defraud people out of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Defraud investors out of millions of dollars?
I'm not sure that details what it's all hinging on, but...
The Big Short Jaws. I don't know.
No, Ryan, you got anything here?
I feel like it's like almost like the example you kind of gave, like the Werewolf of London Street.
An American Werewolf of Wall Street.
Oh, an American
it's kind of living in that.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, now let's get to the hard ones.
Well, let's get to the hard ones.
The son of a Viking chief wants to follow his father's legacy and fight dragons that raid their village, but after a series of particularly grisly murders, he realizes that to get inside the killer's head, he must confront his former nemesis, who is now incarcerated.
Oh. Silence of the Lamb Dragons?
I think you're in the right. You got the right. One of them's right.
Silence is probably right. Or dragons?
How to silence your dragon?
It's How to Train Your Red Dragon.
Oh.
It's the sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
I think okay. It's a sequel.
Oh.
According to the pun.
Okay.
Last one.
The sequel to Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. Whoever wrote that can go fuck this.
Yeah. You want a sequel to Silence of the Lambs? I bet it's bad. Okay, we're having a good time. Okay. last one. This one is very dumb. Two superheroes have to travel to a quaint medieval city in Belgium to attempt to foil the plot of Mr. Freeze.
Okay. Well, it's Bruges. It's in Bruges, and then what's the other one? Do you know?
Well, the only thing I could think of, I wouldn't have would not have gotten in Bruges, but I was Captain Bruges.
Two superheroes have to travel to a quaint medieval city in Belgium.
America.
Captain Bruges.
To attempt to foil the plot of Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze.
Oh, that's the Arnold Schwarzenegger character from Batman.
Oh, Batman so, Bruges?
Begins. In Bruges Begins?
Batman and who?
Batman and Bruges Begins. Batman and Robin Caruso.
Robin Bruges?
Batman and Robin Bruges.
Batman and Robin
Bruges.
That movie's called Batman and Robin?
It's called Batman and Robin.
Dumb name.
That also had Tommy Jones in it, didn't it? As Two-Face?
Yeah, and with his preferred stage name, Tommy Jones. The thing we all know him as. Tom. First name Tom, middle initial E. Last name Jones. Third name forever. In Bruges is great.
I love In Bruges.
That's such
a good
one.
I don't think I've seen it still.
Oh.
I gotta see this.
You know, and I don't know if it doesn't totally hold up. There's a bunch of parts where you're like, oh, it shouldn't be doing that. But there's so much of it that's so great.
Yeah. Is it related to Seven Psychopaths in any kind of
way?
I think it's the same.
I mean, it's the same writer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the guy who wrote, the billboards in the Billboard movie.
He wrote all the billboards for his movies.
Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And which I dislike as a movie, but I really love Seven Psychopaths, and I love In Bruges.
I also didn't.
Yeah.
That movie. Yeah. But Seven Psychopaths is the perfect combo.
Is it? Seven Psychopaths.
The movie Seven and the movie Seven
Psychopaths.
Yeah,
we've done that one before.
Lucky Seven. Oh, you have.
Lucky Number 11 Psychopaths. Is that where you're going with this? We could put that one in the three. Because you know what everyone wants is that game to go on longer.
Yeah.
all right, next game, I'm going to play a famous movie scene backwards, or a scene from a famous movie backwards. You have to tell me what movie it's from. We have we have the least difficult, a medium, and a very difficult
one. Okay, great.
And so you can choose which one you
want. Oh, easy.
All right. This is the one I would say is the least difficult. Sounds a little like a nightmare.
All right. It's Forrest Gump.
It is Forrest Gump.
Wait a second. How did you wait?
Hit your xylophone. You said, okay, wait, to stop the game in confidence.
How did you? Wait, how did you
but
do
once
this?
Once you hear it,
it's just the accent.
He's listing the shrimp types.
Yeah. Oh, shrimp. That's word.
Bubba.
That's the word we hear.
Yeah, shrimp.
It's shrimp.
I didn't hear any of that.
Man, those Scots don't like
that's
Forrest
pretty
Gump.
Amazing.
That was just based on a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's you got it. That was the least difficult one.
Okay.
All right. We got our last game here. We're going to call back to the dad.
Okay.
You guess what movie Kyle's dad's describing, having not seen a movie, just watched trailer, never having heard a movie description. Let it go all the way. If you think you know it, like give a hand raise or something,
okay,
so we can kind of do it here.
It's this wait, time out.
Okay.
When is this? Is it a recent movie?
Since 2000.
Great.
I'll tell you that much.
It's like I'm watching the movie through a weird piece of glass. these kids don't know their dad's name. Oh, that's probably why. I wouldn't be able to believe it if I was with him either. Okay, so he's just going to list similar facts the two have. A lot of really bright shots. Fields. People asking if it's real. That's a long fire. It's all very pretty. He said everything about him is lies. Wait, does that give away the ending to the movie? I wonder how much of it is really what happened.
What? Is he watching with headphones on?
He's watching, probably not. I don't think he knows how to use headphones.
I have no idea. No idea.
I'm trying to figure out what is a movie with a guy who's got kids that quote unquote aren't his or something that it's revealed later where like their dad is a superhero maybe or something.
I'm gonna play it quieter while you guys brainstorm.
Field of Dreams.
Okay. Not since 2000.
It's like I'm watching the movie through a weird piece of glass.
Not helpful.
These kids don't know their dad's name.
Oh, they don't know their dad's name. That's right.
Oh, that's probably why.
Oh, that's probably why.
I wouldn't be able to believe it if I was with him either. Okay, so he's just going
to... Do we know any superheroes that have, like,
facts the two have.
Illegitimate children?
A lot of really
bright
shots.
It's not a superhero. That's not a superhero.
Fields. People asking if it's real. That's a long
fire. I don't know
why.
I want to say Vanilla Sky, but it's not.
It's all very pretty. He said everything about him is lies.
Everything about him is lies. He said everything about him.
Oh, it's a spy. Maybe it's a spy movie.
Lies. Oh, maybe.
It's got a real based on a real thing.
It's based on a real thing.
Oh, so it's like a biopic.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray.
No. Oh my God. Not only are you not even close,
you got to come.
But the title to the movie is so long that Ray seems like you're doing a bit.
I don't know.
All right. It is The Assassination of Jesse James by Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I don't even know that that's a movie.
Well, there we go. That would have been incredible if you guessed it then.
That would have.
I haven't seen this movie. I don't know it exists. I want to say this very long, elaborate title for a specific movie.
I think you should get more obscure movies for your dad to watch.
I think that one was nominated for a bunch of Oscars and stuff. Obscure, like, I can't even, The Abyss.
I am shocked that people don't know The Abyss.
I know The Abyss. I don't remember if, or who's the star, who are the stars?
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio and, it's a bill. It's one of the bills.
Is this like the Deep Ocean one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a James Cameron movie.
It's a James Cameron movie. Wow. He invented a bunch of stuff. Bill Paxton. No, I don't think it's Bill Paxton.
Oh, wait.
Ed Harris?
Ed Harris.
It's been a long time since I got to rewatch
it. It's one of those bills.
Ed Harris.
Ed Bill Paxton Harris. I think he goes by Ed E. Jones. Well, that's it. Thanks for coming and doing the show.
Thank you. That was so much fun. I haven't laughed that long.
That was a real fun. That was a real fun.
If you got anything you want people to know about, you can tell them where to find you or anything that you got going on.
Just Google Kurt Comedy.
Kurt Comedy.
I'm a top hat.
There you go. Okay. thanks for coming, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you guys are listening, you like it, and you want some more, we have a Patreon for the page at patreon.com/neverseenit, where we put up some bonus episodes. I do some videos where I match my dad's audio up with the movie trailer, and you can check those out. And I also have a podcast called Faking a Murderer, where I talk to people about making a murder for 8 hours and didn't tell them I'd never seen it. And so you can check all that out there, patreon.com/neverseenit. And thanks for rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast. Thanks, guys. It's a good show.